Part 5. Global Accents. Chapter 13. W.D. Mohammed, Quran as Guide to Racial Equality. 1978 CE. To be black and Muslim in the United States of America has always been a challenge. It is a particular challenge for Imam W.D. Mohammed, the foremost spokesperson for more than 2 million African-American Muslims. Since 1932, his father, Elijah Muhammad, had led the Nation of Islam. During the 40 years that followed, the Nation of Islam had become known not only for its embrace of Islam, but also for its racial separatism. W.D. Mohammed changed that attitude. In 1976, he became the leader and changed the group's name to the World Community of Al-Islam in the West, then to the Muslim American Society, and, most recently, to the Mosque Cares. In each phase, W.D. Mohammed has championed Islam as an authentic American religion, and he has consistently opposed racism in all its expressions, especially among Muslims. When W.D. Mohammed succeeded his father, his authority had been rejected by rivals, chief among them Minister Louis Farrakhan. In 1978, Minister Farrakhan revived the Nation of Islam with the same racial separatist message as Elijah Muhammad. Quietly, W.D. Mohammed has persisted in distancing himself from both his father and Farrakhan. To distinguish true Islam from false versions of Islam, he often refers to Islam as Al-Islam, that is, the Islam, the real Islam, not its distortion in the old and new forms of the Nation of Islam. In a 1978 speech entitled America, the Beautiful and the Beast, he demonstrated how thoroughly his view of Islam was grounded in a distinctive reading of the Quran. Imam W.D. Mohammed eschews racism. In its stead, he offers hope that Quranic precedents can inform the thinking of Caucasians as well as African Americans, non-Muslims along with Muslims, to make America the beautiful and not the beast. God is a merciful God. All praises are due to Allah. Dear beloved people, the Holy Quran tells us to look at color. Not only that, the Holy Quran says that in the heavens and in the earth, and the workings between heaven and earth, as well as in yourselves too, that you will find instructing signs from God. God teaches us through His creation. He designed His creation to speak wisdom to the mind of the thinking man. How do you think that the Caucasian has come to the high position that he has in science and in other fields of human endeavors and achievements? It's because he got the message from the Quran and was able to see the problem in the Bible, separate his intelligence from the Bible, and give his intelligence to the great kinds of influences, the nourishing and productive influences of Quranic teachings. The Constitution of America is influenced by Quranic teachings. Even the capitalist concept of business is influenced by Quranic teachings. The idea of human dignity that the Constitution expresses is more in accord with the concept of man in the Quran than it is with the concept of man in the Bible. And many wonder why the chief imam, W.D. Mohammed, now wants to save America. I want to save America because I see two lives in America, the lifeblood of truth and the lifeblood of lies. And I think that all we have to do is just separate ourselves from that lifeblood of lies, and we will have a beautiful America indeed. Stop listening to tales about Arabs as slave traders. Wake up. The day of your great victory is here. Don't sleep. Do you think that an intelligent man, even if he knew for certain that some Arabs were in the slave trade business, would separate himself from the great past, from his great history and dignity in Al-Islam, simply because some Arabs had a part in the slave trade? No intelligent man would do that kind of foolish thing. Did anybody ever try to make you believe that a man, simply because he accepts Al-Islam, becomes pure and spotless, safe from doing any wrong? No. Allah says in the Quran that the righteous people are not to be identified by skin or by their religious labels. Allah says in the Quran that righteousness isn't turning your face east or west. Righteousness is in being God-fearing, in obedience to God. Righteousness is in carrying out the wishes of God. Righteousness is in believing in God, His books, His prophets, His angels, His promises to His people or to the faithful. That righteousness is in kind, charitable treatment of the next of kin, to the near relative, and also to the widows, to the orphans, and to the person in the road who has no place to stay tonight. All of that comes from the definition of righteousness in the Quran. I didn't say righteousness is the Muslim. The Muslim should be righteous if he is in accord with his Muslim nature and with the guidance given. But if he wants to rebel, he is free. God says in the Quran that if he had wanted to make people one community, he could have done so. He is the God, the Creator, and has power over everything. If he wanted to, he could make us all one in the same community. We all would be making salat, prayer, and facing the Kaaba, and we all would be practicing universal brotherhood. We would have no racism. We would have the true al-Islamic concept. God said if he wanted to bring it about, he could have done so. And again, God says in the Quran that I have made you tribes and families so that you would recognize each other and not despise each other. The Quran plainly tells us that the superiority or righteousness or piety is not to be looked for under skin color or under a religious label. It's a content that God makes. It should be the Muslim conscience. But sometimes Muslims are not in agreement with their conscience. So if history shows me that an Arab or some Arabs or hundreds of thousands of Arabs were involved in the slave traffic, that would not change my faith. That would not make me walk any slower toward my Arab brother who is a Muslim. I will keep the same love and appreciation for my Muslim Arab brother. I will keep my same devotion to Allah. I will keep my eyes and my whole self turned toward the Kaaba at Mecca. I don't care what the Arabs did or what they do. No Arab could ever do those things and come out with the Holy Quran in his arms. But also question those who told you that the Arabs did those things. Question their history and see the evil things that they did with the Bible in their arms. I'm not trying to say that the Christian is bad, but I'm saying you shouldn't throw stones if you live in glass houses. And I've just pulled out a little bit of the trash that's under your rug. Evident in this speech, as in all the writings of Imam W.D. Muhammad, is engagement with the Quran as a book of signs that cuts across racial, linguistic, and cultural divides. Invoking the noble Quran without need to quote chapter and verse is part of his strategy to naturalize its message. He folds it into the texture of everyday life. He insinuates it into the vocabulary of Muslims and non-Muslims. Elsewhere, he is very specific about what the meaning of the Quran is, or should be, for Muslims. He offers a novel interpretation of the opening chapter. While the initial verse has been variously rendered as, "Praise to God, the Lord of all creation," or, "Praise is due to God, Lord of the universe," or, "Praise be to God, Lord of the worlds," Imam W.D. Muhammad ponders the deeper meaning of the word worlds. He wonders why the root word for world in Arabic is also the same root for knowledge. He ingeniously chooses to combine the two, offering a unique rendition of the inaugural command of the opening chapter of the Quran. "Praise be to Allah, Lord of all systems of knowledge." Worlds are no longer spheres of outer space or the realms of life beyond death. Instead, worlds become systems of knowledge. The stress is not just on knowledge, but systems of knowledge. And redoubled is the accent on all systems of knowledge. No matter what their origin or who claims them or who uses them, all derive from God. Great wisdom, whether from Caucasian writers of the U.S. Constitution or from Arab scientists of the Caliphal era, has a divine source. Did not these same groups sometimes function as antagonists to African Americans? Yes, but the achievements of Caucasians and Arabs are no less God-derived. Their wisdom belongs to Allah, since all systems of knowledge belong to Him. In effect, Imam W.D. Muhammad is warning African-American Muslims to avoid rejecting everything about whites or Arabs just because the latter have hurt African-Americans. His listeners can, and should, claim the knowledge that whites and Arabs have produced. Why? Because ultimately that knowledge and its application belong to God. They are vehicles to edify, not stratify His servants. The obligation for African-American Muslims is clear and broad. When they praise Allah as Lord of all systems of knowledge, they make knowledge the core Muslim value. All systems of knowledge include etiquette or personal behavior. They include global history, from the rise of Islam to modern world systems. They also include science. Religious knowledge and scientific inquiry become parts of a single package. Both are integral to Islam, since the one who is Lord of all systems of knowledge is omniscient as well as omnipotent. Divine omniscience extends from the day of creation to the day of judgment. Just as there is nothing that God did not know before the first atom was formed, so the revelation of the Quran anticipates all knowledge that came after the time of the Prophet. That includes modern science. The Quran is the book of science as well as a book of signs. Syed Ahmad Khan and Muhammad Iqbal would agree. Lord of all systems of knowledge is more than an apologetic response to scientific prestige. In practice, the followers of Imam W.D. Muhammad make Lord of all systems of knowledge a pedagogical tool, from junior school to university. Its purpose is to encourage young Muslims to recognize that the Metta book is also the book of nature and part of their own history. When Gabriel, told Muhammad, read, explains a teacher in one of the Mosque Cares Sunday schools, he didn't have a book to read, so what did he read? What was the angel telling him to read? Read Allah's creation. Read the sunrise. Read the world. Jibril is not talking about a physical book. He's talking about the creation. When we start kids in school, they don't know how to read, so we start them off with picture books. There were slaves that couldn't read, but they could read the North Star to keep the star in front of them as they walked to freedom. And so both the natural world and everyday life are to be understood by observation and by empathy in all times and in all places. Even slaves, observing the cycle of sunrise and sunset, could read them as signs for creation and liberation. Like the Prophet Muhammad, African-American slaves could not read books, yet illiteracy was no more a handicap for them than for him. The key goal was, and still is, to read the signs and submit to their message. Submit is the message of the heavens, of the Quran, and of Islam. The very word al-Islam becomes the leitmotif for the ideal world view of the African-American Muslim. In the words of this same Sunday school teacher, when Allah says submit, you've got to submit everything. You have to become a scientist when you become a Muslim. You have to have a whole curriculum. Give up your Afrocentric way of thinking, give up your whole way of life, and submit. The challenges are double. To create a new community, one must be liberated from one's instinctive identity and merged into another networked identity. But at the same time, society as a whole has to accept the presence of an indigenous Islam. Muslim holidays have to become part of the seasonal calendar, with Eid festivals celebrated next to Christmas and Hanukkah. And mosques have to be as natural and as welcome in the American landscape as churches and synagogues. It will not happen soon. Imam W.D. Muhammad and the Muslim American community face a long journey. Even as they remold their own community to move beyond the wall of Afrocentrism, so they must educate the larger community to free itself from the stain of white racism. Their sheet anchor in this project is a book of signs that crosses every barrier of time and place, culture and race. As those who submit to the one who is Lord of all systems of knowledge, they can dare to envisage a future where inclusive rather than exclusive virtues prevail, beginning in the USA.